Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Ornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire cornucopia landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary...
Bob Cray there, a so-called smoking gun. And Jason Leopold, did the Inspector General find a smoking gun in terms of the illegal termination of David Iglesias, who was a Republican, an Air Force officer, a straight-up guy? You and I have both talked with him, and he's very impressive, very principled. And he was the U.S. Attorney for New Mexico, a political appointment that he got with the sponsorship of Pete Domenici, the very senator.
Which is ironic.
Yeah, the very senator who later improperly tried to interfere with Iglesias in his professional duties, called him up, and basically hounded him to pursue phony prosecutions against Democrats for voter fraud timed to break right before the midterm elections in 2006. So what was the Inspector General's take? And I know you've gotten to talk to Mr. Iglesias since the report came out. What was his reaction?
Well, first of all, the Inspector General went a bit further, and they obtained quite a bit of evidence from back in 2005. In 2005, somewhere around mid-2005, Domenici's chief of staff, Steve Bell, began a communication with J. Scott Jennings. Scott Jennings, also involved in this, worked with Rove, and started complaining about Iglesias. There were emails that went back and forth over the course of a year, complaining about, you know, recommending to get rid of Iglesias. In addition to that, the New Mexico Republican Party chairman, Alan Weh, had contacted Jennings complaining about Iglesias. This was a previously undisclosed email saying that I respectfully request that you replace him. Domenici's chief of staff said he was going to contact Josh Bolton. Scott Jennings and Sarah Taylor, who also worked with Rove in that office, contacted Josh Bolton to give him a heads up. So there was a clearly, and then of course you had President Bush, who was briefed about voter fraud or allegations of voter fraud in New Mexico and raised concerns as well. So there was an orchestrated effort that took place, you know, from 2005, that preceded any phone call that Heather Wilson, the congresswoman there, or Pete Domenici made to David Iglesias. This was, you know, they said that this was the most egregious because, you know, first of all, Alberto Gonzalez didn't vet any of the claims that were made. The fact that these outsiders had such a direct line to the Justice Department and the White House and, they were able to wield so much power was just unbelievable. But because Domenici you know, and other witnesses, and Karl Rove didn't agree to testify, they couldn't unravel the full story. But they do believe that possibly, you know, there were some crimes that took place. And that could be obstruction of justice, perjury. Those are two things that they mentioned. You know, Iglesias, when I spoke to him yesterday, he felt that this was, you know, the logical next step in terms of having a special prosecutor take this on and starting a criminal probe. He believes that, you know, with subpoena power, that this person, who he doesn't know, from Connecticut, the special prosecutor, Nora, I forgot her last name.
Danahy.
That she will be able to uncover, you know, some of the things that the inspector general could not. You know, he thinks that this, you know, he believes, and I think he's absolutely right, that this report vindicates him. You know, as you know, last year they called him, quote, an absentee landlord because he is also a judge advocate general and had his duties there, that that he was he had wasn't a good his work evaluation forms were very low. That was false, so he feels vindicated.
Now, on the JAG issue, it's not necessarily central, but it could provide an avenue for Iglesias to pursue further action. He was hoping that the Office of Professional Responsibility would dive into that issue of his improper termination because he was serving in the Air Force as a reservist, and that's a clear violation of law.
Exactly. He actually filed a complaint, a Hatch Act complaint, with the Office of Special Counsel. You remember that place?
Okay, Scott Block. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now he has no idea, you know, what the status is of that, and frankly, you know, it doesn't, you know, given the sort of things that Scott Block has wrapped up in his own investigations involving, you know, the way he conducted his office. You know, Iglesias doesn't have any hope, but he does think that, you know, perhaps there, you know, this new special prosecutor will be able to find out what the, you know, inspector general didn't. But if you start to read that report, you start to read the case about Iglesias, and you read what they said, they don't hold back. They make it, you know, they certainly, the inspector general makes it sound as if, you know, Kyle Sampson, Alberto Gonzalez, and others who agreed to be interviewed were basically lying.
Yeah. And what about our good friend Alberto Gonzalez? Is he in the clear the way his lawyer wants us to believe?
You know, absolutely not. In fact, that's the one part that's abundantly clear, is that, you know, he is still under scrutiny and having trouble find work.
That's what I heard. Yeah. Thank you, Jason. Great to talk to you. If people want to help out, go to pubrecord.org. There's a donate window right there on the home page. Thanks, Jason.
I appreciate it, Peter. Take care.
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis, and as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest-growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the Internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Senate will vote tomorrow night on the $700 billion rescue plan rejected by the House. Majority Leader Harry Reid says this measure will include a tax cut package and a hike in the limits on FDIC insurance from $100,000 to $250,000. That's designed to reassure depositors and give banks more liquidity to make loans. The stock market, believing a bailout will ultimately be approved, had strong gains today. The Dow jumped 485 points to 10,850.
This is a temporary sigh of relief.
CBS News economics correspondent Anthony Mason says it could all come crashing down unless the credit market gets unclogged very soon.
Small businesses are finding it harder and harder to borrow money.
There is no extra capital.
Jay Cullimore needs that extra capital to buy holiday inventory for his Florida lighting company.
So we're kind of playing it by ear because we can't really get the kind of cash that we're looking for.
And if sales drop this season, he says,
we could definitely go out of business.
Small businesses employ 116 million workers, but two-thirds of small business owners say they're feeling the impact of the credit crunch.
It costs more to borrow if you can borrow at all. No relief yet for drivers in parts of the southeast where gasoline is in short supply. CBS News correspondent Mark Strassman reports it's getting ugly out there.
Sometimes for 2 hours, southeast motorists line up to fill up. Places like Charlotte.
This was a nightmare for me.
And Atlanta, where at least half the stations are dry. No gas. The others have long lines.
So we found one gas station open. It was half a mile long line.
And short tempers.
I get another car backing me off, honking, another guy getting out, yelling me, calling me all curse words.
No comment.
Police arrested this North Carolina man for allegedly pulling a gun on someone who cut him off at the pump.
It's worst in the Atlanta area, western North Carolina, and parts of Tennessee. At Fort Riley, Kansas today.
This is a temporary...
A deployment ceremony for the 2nd Brigade of the Army's 1st Infantry Division. Over the next 2 weeks, that unit will be leaving for 12 months in Iraq. Sergeant Major Donald Battle was grateful for the turnout.
I don't have any family members here, but when I look at all the people that come out, family members come out, hug my neck saying, good luck to your soldiers. It makes me feel good.
The Pentagon says 6 Army brigades and several other units will go to Iraq next summer, keeping troop levels roughly where they are now. Nearly 1,200 firefighters are now involved in battling a fast-moving blaze in California's Los Padres National Forest. Vicki Collins of the U.S. Forest Service says the fire has grown to 1,700 acres.
The vegetation is very dry. The terrain is quite steep and rugged. There's a lot of oak and brush, chaparral country out there. It's difficult to get people in on the ground.
There are a few homes in the area. 11 people have been evacuated. This is CBS News.
Have you ever fantasized about driving the car of your dreams for less? At the Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event, your fantasy can come true. With special limited-time financing on select CPO vehicles that have undergone a 155-point inspection. So you know it's a total Mercedes-Benz with total reliability. And that's no fantasy. Our CPO sales event ends September 30th. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete program and pre-owned limited warranty details. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 50 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Bob Kittle here to talk about your tires.
Stop ignoring your tires! Pay attention! Try Univar Tires! They'll make you last in the baby cash.
You can trust them for miles and miles.
Univar Tires for your family.
For dependable tires and helpful money-saving tips, visit Uniroyal.com.
The big shakeout in finance could mean changes at your local arena. CBS News correspondent Harley Carnes explains.
If Wachovia belongs to Citigroup and WAMU isn't WAMU anymore, what does that mean for sports and entertainment centers with their names on top? Wachovia Center in Philly, WAMU Theaters in Seattle and in New York City, and AIG is on Manchester United's soccer jerseys. Neil DeMose, author of Field of Schemes, says... they'll just get new names.
You're not buying the adoration of the fan. You know, you're just buying a big billboard.
Even high schools are willing to sell. Frisco, California's Tiger Stadium will change its name, they say, for $200,000. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Jill Hull apparently was not a very good letter carrier. She quit the Postal Service last month after 3.5 years on the job. Then investigators found a storage unit stuffed with 9,000 pieces of mail, some of it dating back to 2005. Hull said she just couldn't deliver it all. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
All right, here's the problem. Overtime, low-quality discount gasoline allows deposits to form in the fuel system, which robs your vehicle of both power and performance. Here's the solution, Advance Auto Parts. They got Shell V-Power Complete Fuel System Cleaner on special. Go buy 2 bottles of the stuff and get a $15 Shell gas card after a mail-in rebate. The offer ends November 1st. So whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning.
We couldn't have asked for a better day to break out the PWCs.
I know. This is great.
Whoa, whoa. What is that?
Oh, that's my new theme music. GEICO helped me save so much money on my PWC insurance, I hired a band to play my own theme song.
Huh. Do they know Freebird?
Saving you money on your PWC insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business. GEICO Power Sports. Insurance for all the things that move.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the free speech zone. Use your First Amendment rights and give me your best blah, blah, blah. My lines are open for you right now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Talk about the failed bailout for billionaires. We're going to name the names of the Democrats who voted against it. We can also talk about the trial of Donald Rumsfeld, the Free Gaza Movement, and Jason Leopold's reporting on Alberto Gonzalez and the politicization of the Justice Department. Or it may be easier to remember as 888-5-PETER-B. There goes Iggy Pop. Blah, blah, blah. That's the name of the song. Free Speech Zone, all yours, 888-573-8372. So it was a surprise in Washington yesterday. And Speaker Pelosi had egg on her pretty face. Why? She made a deal with the devil and the devil screwed her. She trusted the White House and the Republican leaders in the House, John Boehner and Roy Blunt. You take a look at either one of those guys, you wouldn't trust them with a nickel. And she believed their representations that if she could get enough Democrats out there to vote for this piece of crap, that the Republicans would hold their noses and follow suit. Only she got skunked. She needed 12 or 13 more votes. And the Republicans would not deliver. And Nancy doesn't have time to step back and ask herself a question like this, but I'll pose it anyway. I wish she would look in the mirror and say, Nancy, what the hell are you doing carrying water for George W. Bush, helping to bail him out of the mess he's created? And before I go to the list here of who voted how, I want to pose a simple question to you right now. Has any listener of the Peter B. Collins Show experienced the credit crunch? Have you been turned down for a home loan, a car loan, a consumer loan? If you run a small business, have you been told by your bank that your line of credit is being reduced or revoked? Because I keep hearing elected leaders, including many Democrats, tell us these dire stories about how the financial system is so constipated that it's on the brink of collapse. Now, I follow the news, and I know that yesterday Wachovia had to be taken over, and three banks in Europe, two in England, one in Amsterdam, failed and were taken over by government. So I'm not in denial here. I'm not saying everything's fine and that we don't need to do anything. But I join right-wingers up and down the country in opposing the bill that is currently before the Congress. Up to $700 billion. And yeah, the Democrats have improved it a little bit. There's some oversight, but it's not enough. And it's not oversight by the right people. It's going to be a bunch of political insiders and some Wall Street people who will be called upon to fix the problem that they helped create. And there is no connection, in my mind, between the bailout proposed and opening up credit channels in this country if they are, in fact, shutting down. And so the media has done a totally lousy job in explaining to me, an American, what the true nature of this problem is. George Miller, good Democratic congressman, one of Pelosi's chief lieutenants, guy who got pissed at me in Denver because I told him they get a D-plus for running the House as Democratic leadership. I saw him on television this morning making this same case without a shred of proof. And Pete Stark, a Democratic congressman from the East Bay, I heard him in a radio interview earlier today. Stark is an interesting guy. He's a former banker. And he is saying that there's a lot of bluff in what we're hearing right now. So I put it out to you, if you have any direct evidence of a credit crunch in this country, I'd like to know about it. And if there is such a thing, we have seen, for example, that banks have sharply raised the interest rate on money that they loaned from one bank to another, the interbank rate. Now, that's something that's entirely under their control. And once Bush and Paulson dangled the prospect of a $700 billion gift to financial services in this country, the markets have reacted as if that's an entitlement. And the threat is implicit that if we don't cough up the money, it's all going to collapse. Well, I don't want it to collapse, but I don't know that $700 billion applied the way they say will have any impact whatsoever. And before we rush to approve this money in the heat of an election campaign where the Republicans are using the same tactics they've hosed us with time and time again, I think a timeout is well warranted. And Pete Stark and Dennis Kucinich and others, the Democratic left, have made that point. But after the Jewish holiday, it's expected that the Senate will take up this piece of legislation, such as it is, and try to pass it and then set an example for the House. We'll see how that plays out. But ask yourself, if you were an elected member of Congress or the Senate, do you want to stick your neck out and vote for a bailout that may not pass? That's the ugliest prospect. Jerry McNerney was elected 2 years ago with our help, defeated Richard Pombo in the Stockton district that also oozes into the Bay Area. He's vulnerable. He's so vulnerable that he has dodged my interview requests for over a year now. And yet the leadership induced Jerry McNerney to vote for this. It didn't pass. So he's got a bad vote that can be used by his opponent against him in a populist way. And they never should have permitted that to happen. They should have herded people like Jerry McNerney into a corner and said, these guys won't vote until the Republicans have given us enough votes to pass this crap. So we have policy miscalculations. We have the specter that they're buying what appears to be hyped, if not flatly, bogus claims by the Treasury Secretary. And then we have the political miscalculations. It's hard to take. Here are Democrats from California who voted against the bailout legislation on Monday. Mike Thompson, the blue dog, I'm surprised. Lynn Woolsey, Barbara Lee, Pete Stark, Brad Sherman, Adam Schiff, Javier Becerra, Hilda Solis, Diane Watson, Lucille Roybal-Allard, Grace Napolitano, Linda Sanchez, Loretta Sanchez, Joe Baca, and Bob Filner. Let's see about Oregon here for our listeners north of that border. David Wu, Earl Blumenauer, and Peter DeFazio all voted against Pelosi's bailout bill. So those are people who stood for the voters, stood for the people they represent, and rebuffed this bailout plan. 888-5 Peter B. I want to hear your comments. We've got open phones this entire hour, and Cindy is back from Monterey. Thanks for calling back, Cindy. Hi.
Seems like it was just more of a kind of Palin bailout to me. They're just trying to like hedge their bets and expose some hands there because Palin is like a joke. Anyway, that's
how do we connect that?
It's sort of a hype. We're supposed to believe more of this hype, but it's hype.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know exactly where the money is. They know where the $1 billion that was stolen in Afghanistan is. They know where the bridge to nowhere is. They probably know where bin Laden is. Anyway, last hour was so great, and you guys do some great work. You know, it's almost like seeing a renaissance in criminal law here, Peter.
We try.
And so I need to ask you some questions I had from yesterday's show and last hour's show. Is like, do you agree that beating someone to death to extract useless information is criminally insane?
Yes.
So then what is behind the refusal to disclose the rest of the photos of abuses there? Do you think it's logistics?
No, they're covering up as much as they possibly can. The whole MO of the Bush administration is total secrecy. There is no right for anybody else to know what they've done wrong.
Or where they've done it.
Yeah. And so they are just stonewalling to the max. Because impeachment has been off the table, they feel emboldened to do whatever they want. And you have to look at this whole crisis and bailout thing that's been drummed up as part of a continuing drama.
Right, exactly, because, you know, there was the brainwashing of the guards to view the detainees, I hate using that word, I like to use the word political prisoner, as less than human, and it's such a compelling factor in that the ideology of this war strategy suggests that there's so much more levels of criminality that are covered up.
Yeah.
And to implement even more atrocities, I suppose, such as Katrina, that we had, which I consider an absolute atrocity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we see through the glass darkly, we're going to see a lot of distortion. But once we see through the glass clearly, all that distortion is going to go away. So I just really want to commend you guys on some really great undercover work.
All right, Cindy, we do what we can, and I'm glad you listened to it. We're going to take a break and return for more of your phone calls. There are lines available on the switchboard now. Nick will take your call when you dial in at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Good afternoon. This is Hal Ginsberg with your KRXA 540 traffic report. In the 5 o'clock hour, September 30th, starting in Monterey County at the intersection of County Road 17 and Las Palmas Road, we've got a collision, a blue Chevy Suburban running up against the embankment. On Highway 101 northbound at Front Street, we've got a traffic hazard there. It's California Highway Patrol en route. Moving north to Santa Cruz County, Freedom Boulevard at Day Valley Road, we've got a collision. Deer sign sheared at the base, and sticking in Santa Cruz County, Summit Road at Mount Madonna Road, collision still slowing traffic there, as well as at San Andreas Road and Spring Valley Road. Moving east to Hollister-Gilroy, we still got the collision on the board at Fraser Lake Road intersecting with Shore Road. Enjoy the rest of the afternoon, and enjoy the Peter B. Collins Show coming right up only on AM 5.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, Free Speech Zone. Calls and comments, welcome. Do you know the rules? There are barely any rules here. We like you to be coherent, generally speak in English. You can call with a comment on any issue, offer any viewpoint, and call from anywhere within the sound of my voice, including Freedom, California. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. No one has called to offer information about a credit crunch. Now, that doesn't mean it's not happening. But it seems to be a strong indicator. Because among the many people who listen to this program are people who buy homes, who buy cars, who run small businesses. And these dire predictions that we've heard from our political leaders are that credit is drying up. And I have not been able to find any evidence of that. So if you have it, bring it on. Toll free, 888-573-8372. Chris and Salinas, hi.
Hey, Peter. My biggest frustration with this whole issue is the fact that what I believe is a complete failure by Nancy Pelosi and both her and Harry Reid is the fact that we've never discussed the real issues. Why they came about, and real solutions to the problem. The only solutions they came up with was just listening to Bernanke and Paulson tell them, and they pulled $700 billion number out of the air,
yeah.
And that's a fact.
Yep.
And yet we do have congressmen like Kucinich and Peter DeFazio is listening to him today. They have some real
honest solutions. And we're not having any hearings, anything. I mean, if I was leader of the House, I would have put together an emergency session of all the different banking and finance committees, and I would have held hearings nonstop. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even, you know. It's a complete leadership failure here, but it's also a complete fabrication, in my opinion, or somewhat of a fabrication.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, I think there are some objective facts. There was a run on the money market funds. We do have banks failing. We have people politely running on the banks. You know, it's not the mass withdrawals that we've seen in the past. But, you know, $16.5 billion out of WaMu in a week and a half, that's a run on the bank. And we've seen these bank failures now around the world. So I'm not here to pretend that there is no problem. I am saying that the solution they're offering doesn't address the problem in any way. This bailout will not cause banks to lend money.
If there was no $700 billion sitting out there, and Nancy Pelosi said, fine, we're pulling this off. The Republicans voted it off. Screw you guys. We're going to go campaign, and we'll decide this after the election.
Chris, once again, they're operating not from a position of strength, but from an acknowledged position of weakness and fear. And they are afraid that if they don't approve this Band-Aid, that the markets will crash or whatever, and that they'll be blamed for it. Well, the blame lies with the Republican obstructionists and the Republicans in the administration who caused this. But the Democrats are just so used to caving in and being the whipping boys and girls that they don't know that this is the time to stand up. And we have this bipartisan group of 205 who said, niet.
There's one other thing I really wanted to say real quick.
Go.
In this legislation, there is nothing, there is really absolutely nothing that prevents these same money investment firms from keeping on and doing the same thing that has put us in this situation. There is, I mean, that board is nothing but a bunch of cronies.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they should put, a populist on there, somebody representing the people, a labor union representative, or somebody who represents homeowners who are facing foreclosure. Those are the voices who need to be heard as we attempt to work our way out of this situation.
We need congressional oversight.
Thanks,
Peter.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate your call. He's a loyal listener. I'm Peter B. Collins. The Free Speech Zone is available to you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas, for reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Our top item today, following Friday night's presidential debate, MSNBC's Chris Matthews asked the Washington Post's Gene Robinson,
Gene, did it surprise you that he was so unethnic tonight, that he never once talked about the condition of African Americans in this country, never once talked about poor people?
Media Matters has noted a pattern of Matthews playing up racial politics in this election, questioning Obama's ability to connect with both white and black voters. Here's a quick flashback.
Now, the working class white voters Hillary Clinton won in
safeguards in banking, water, energy, health, inflation.
Ask what you can do for your country.
9 p.m. Saturday, The Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Leap.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered. Except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We'll continue in the free speech zone in just a moment. But first, we're going to pause for a moment of reflection. And if you're in line at a drive-up window at Starbucks, may I ask you to back away? If you have an urge for a corporate burger from the King or Jack, just drive on. And if you're in the parking lot of Walmart right now, start the engine, head for the exit. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a radio intervention from Reverend Billy and the Church of Stop Shopping. Homeland Security. I'm sorry. Hold on, Billy. Homeland Security has just announced that the threat level has been moved to bleach blonde because Reverend Billy has penetrated the California border and is now in Santa Cruz. Billy, how are you?
Well, Sabatry and I were just driving in our rented Prius, and we knew we'd be talking to you at 5:30, so we looked for a place to kind of get a little bit quiet. We ended up in the West Ridge Business Park.
Uh-huh.
I'm in the parking lot of Happy Vacations. And this is the Shapocalypse. This is faceless. This is what caused what's happening to us right now. I'm walking in hell. I feel like the lake of hellfire is surrounding me. Amen. Praise be.
Well, Reverend Billy, you have been leading the call to warn a consumer nation of the evils of excess, the wages of corporate sin. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on this bogus but messed up bailout effort that's underway in Washington and the corporate underpinnings of it all, because that's what you're expert on.
Well, we are shopping ourselves to death all the way from the hedge fund people at the top to, are they at the top or are they at the bottom?
People
addicted to Starbucks, but the bailout, I was against it. I am against it. But what I'm noticing as we drive along the California coast, going from town to town here performing, there's this spooky feeling that people in their common sense, just the conversations people are having in the diner, at the gas station, just working together, the quiet kind of shrug of the shoulder, offhand conversations that people are having in their everyday life,
yeah,
are something like the kinds of conversations that we must have had when we decided to throw off the British Empire, abolish slavery, and defeat fascism. People are quietly radical right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people know how to express it as political action. I think we've been isolated from one another by the marketing juggernaut for so long.
Mm-hmm.
We've been beaten back into passivity. I think we're not ready to make a move. We don't know how that would how that would manifest in the world. How would we reach out to each other and move as one to make real change?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're just, right now, I think we're just, we watched the business partnership of Wall Street and Washington revealed, and we're all caught in this emperor's clothes moment together.
Mm-hmm. But
no
Billy,
one knows what to do. We're kind of in a slow motion horror show right now. It's like when a car accident begins and you hear the tires squealing and you know you're going to have a collision, but you just kind of sit there.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's happening. We know what it is. We see it. We know how bad it is. And I think most Americans know that bailout is just Naomi Klein's disaster capitalism. That's just not the answer.
But in addition, Billy, the collusion between government and corporate interests at this time, with a little dash of religion thrown in for fun, that is the definition of fascism.
Yeah, that's what we call the Shapocalypse. We don't use the word fascism, Peter B., because it's boring and scary and, you know, be comic, be funny, please.
Okay.
Please. what are you going to sound like a leftist or something? Forget it. Keep people laughing, Peter B.
Well, we'll do what we can. Now, tell us what you're doing this evening in Santa Cruz.
We've been invited to the Quaker Meeting House at 8 o'clock out on Rooney Road. And it's just me and Savitri. We're just, you know, last year we were movie stars, and now we're in a rented car without a choir.
Nope.
Some money to bring them out.
Oh, no choir. Wow.
So we're just going from place to place, yeah.
Uh-huh. So Quaker Meeting House in Santa Cruz tonight, Tuesday, Wednesday night at the Noe Valley Ministry in San Francisco, also at 8 o'clock. Thursday night in Sacramento, and it doesn't offer a location, but somewhere in the capital city, you'll be there at 7 p.m.
It's all at reverendbilly.org, you know, all the addresses and so forth. We're doing a different kind of approach. It's just smaller groups of people, and it's our praying, our singing, it's all participatory, and I'm just tearing it down right now, trying to get honest,
yeah.
Trying to find out what's really, really in our soul.
And you're also going to be at City Lights Bookstore, Columbus and Broadway in San Francisco this coming Sunday at 5 p.m., and you'll be reading from your book?
Yes, sir. Yes.
That's my
pet. I tend to start preaching at some point.
Yes, you do.
I rise from the reading to the preaching. And then I'm singing, then running down the street.
Yeah. Well, Billy, it's great to have you back in the area. Reverend Bill Talon, came out of San Francisco, went to New York for his conversion into Reverend Billy, and he now traverses the country with his Shapocalypse message. And I think you've been very effective and funny all at the same time, Billy.
Amen, Peter B.
All right, brother. Well, thanks a lot. Give a hug to Savitri for me, will you?
I will, and thank you for taking me out to your radio church today. Change your life, everybody.
Great. All right, Billy. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Reverend Billy, the Church of Stop Shopping, RevBilly.com. RevBilly.org may work, too, but I've got the site up at RevBilly.com. Check it out, and if you're in Santa Cruz, visit the Quaker Meeting House tonight at 8 o'clock and check in on Reverend Billy. Now to Colonel Terry in Santa Cruz. You're next here in the Free Speech Zone.
Thank you for informing me, Peter. I'm going to make Reverend Billy's performance at the Meeting House. I encourage everyone in the Santa Cruz and Monterey areas to do so also.
He's a guy with a powerful message and a great sense of humor, and it's a very interesting package. I'll just tell you that.
Excellent. I'll tell him you sent me, and I'll try and bring some friends. And in addition, it's right off Route 1 near the Morrissey road exit,
mm-hmm.
The Quaker Meeting House.
Okay, great.
On the inland landward side of the access road on the east side of Route 1, so
gotcha.
People know.
Okay.
I want to compliment you, Peter. Excellent programming, as always. I want to especially compliment you for suggesting that your listeners be surveyed to call in. So has anyone else among your listeners experienced the financial credit availability and the sky falling on everybody financially, as Bush and Pelosi have, I think, misrepresented?
We're still waiting for the first call.
No. It's as big a fraud as weapons of mass destruction, Al-Qaeda in Iraq, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
And no one's calling Bush the liar that he is on the major media.
Oh, of course not, because he's our crisis president.
steeled by war and lies and torture and misrepresentation and distortion of our constitutional values.
All of the above. Now, you may recall I spent many years in Washington, ranging from working with Ralph Nader, whom I saw last night in a reunion here in Santa Cruz, as a matter of fact.
Oh, great.
And also I had some tours as an Air Force officer years later assigned to White House activities.
Mm-hmm.
With those perspectives, and by the way, Nader was looking really well. I told Ralph I was so delighted to see how well he was looking physically. And, you know, he made a lot of sense. He doesn't want to discuss should he endorse Obama. And I think it's a sincere opinion on his part that both parties are so damn corrupt. They don't deserve anybody's support. And I'm inclined to agree with that in this situation. There's no question that Paulson came down from New York giving up $40 million a year. So for $185,000 a year job as Secretary of the Treasury to set this in motion a year and a half ago. No doubt in my mind, the evidence points to this. It's consistent with all of the indicators.
Well, and we know that the first people to learn of the exposure and the true liabilities, even if they're somewhat unknown, of these mortgage-backed securities are the people who bundled them together and sold them around the world, sold them again and again, to the point where they're just making money off transactions. There is no underlying value.
In effect, fraud.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a scheme. It's a hustle.
But you also asked the question, who's responsible? And frankly, both the Democrats and the Republicans in the Congress are perhaps equally responsible over the last 40 years, especially the last 14 or so. And
well, let me stop you for a second, Terry, because I think it's really important to point out that it was Bill Clinton who really moved the Democratic Party into the position of the number two corporate party. And through his links to the Democratic Leadership Council, the people like Summers and Rubin, who he brought in to Treasury and the other top cabinet posts related to money during the 90s, they really did set the stage. And we have to acknowledge that while Phil Graham was the author of the repeal of Glass-Steagall, it passed with Democratic support and was signed by President Clinton.
That's right.
He didn't veto it. He did not raise an eyebrow.
Huge contributions and huge post-presidency funds indirectly for his speaking tours from some of those same financial interests that ripped us all off.
Right.
And he understood the economic history. And Hillary, by the way, even Bitter did. Why Glass-Steagall was wisdom we should not walk away from.
And this was the reason why I couldn't support Hillary Clinton in the primaries this year.
I couldn't for a whole lot of additional reasons.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, Bill Clinton let ExxonMobil and Chevron Texaco remerge, who include the corporate descendants of the Standard Oil Trust that Teddy Roosevelt valiantly broke up 100 years ago. And Bill Clinton knew exactly what he was doing, letting them remerge.
Terry, give me one more point because I got a full switchboard and I want to honor the rest of our calls.
I want to see if anybody else has really experienced this. And I think Pelosi should be held accountable. It's another reason to throw her the heck out of Congress.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't defend her in any way on this one.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Terry. Now to Gina and Salinas. Welcome, Gina. You're on the PBC show. Gina, did you survive? Oh, apparently she didn't hang on. 888-5-PETER-B, Gina, if you want to call me back, and Ben, right down the road. And Salinas, I'm sure he's still holding. Hi, Ben.
Peter.
Yes.
Let me give you my take on what's happening. You know that they're ramping up the fear, oh, the depression, oh, it'll be hunger in the streets. Well, guess what? The minute they scare people into giving them that $700 billion, now remember, they could buy all of those stressed assets for a total of $100 billion. The other $600 billion is going to the half-mores. But the minute that we're intimidated to the point that the Congress gives that money up to those people, it's going to disappear overnight. Now, remember the $9.5 billion they gave Bremer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just don't know what I did with it. We just can't find it.
Yeah, it fell off a truck.
Bremer's still walking the streets. That $700 billion is going to disappear overnight. It's not going to stop the depression. It won't stop the foreclosures.
Mm-hmm.
There still is going to be hunger and panic in the streets. That's why they're bringing the 3rd Brigade back from Iraq, because the Homeland Security has requested it. And people think that it's not serious business. And does anybody think that even if the depression and the calamity comes up, does anybody think there's one Republican, starting with Bush, that's going to care that there's a depression and hunger in the streets? Hell no, they'll be celebrating in Costa Rica and Paraguay. That's as I see it. This is the men of Salinas, hoping that I'm wrong, but I fear the worst.
Hey, Ben, I just want to, again, thank you for the comment you made a week ago, because I have quoted you to many other people, and nobody has rejected the fundamental notion that you advanced, and that is at least part of this can be solved or dealt with by identifying the bad mortgages through the people who are paying on them, and allowing them to refinance will remove oodles of bad paper from these pools that they claim are too complex, too sliced and diced for them to pull apart. And we know that when, you know, a specific mortgage contract is refinanced, that contract is canceled, that pulls it out of the pool, it reduces the liability, and that's the best way to approach this problem. It may not fix everything, but it is the fairest way to address the problem that we have, and the most likely way that would actually lead to banks to free up lending if, in fact, they have constricted it.
Just reevaluate it by today's market values and let the people in there cut a deal with the government. Give them a new 30-year plan and a reasonable rent. We don't need to see homelessness and a depression here, but with Bush and Cheney, who's going to stop these people? Tell me, who is going to stop Bush and Cheney? Their dream is to kill Social Security and Medicare, and who's going to stop them?
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate it. 888-5-PETER-B. We'll take more of your calls in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
This is Michael Ginsburg with your final KRXA traffic report on Tuesday, September 30th. The roads are starting to clear up. Only two problems to tell you about at this time. In Monterey County, at the intersection of County Road 17 and Las Palmas Road, we have a collision involving a blue Chevy Suburban on the embankment. And in the App House Watsonville area, the collision at San Andreas Road and Spring Valley Road continues to slow traffic there. Otherwise, things are looking good. Don't forget to tune in to hear my dad, Hal, tomorrow from 8 to 10 on the KRXA Morning Show. Article Man returns to discuss the presidential election in the first hour, and Monterey County Supervisor-elect Jane Parker will be on at 9:06 to weigh in on Measure Z, a transportation referendum for Monterey County. We have just learned of one more collision. In Soquel on Highway 1 southbound near the Soquel Drive exit, two vehicles are on the right side. Enjoy the rest of the Peter B. Collins Show on right after this.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market in Delhi at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market in Delhi. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market in Delhi is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market in Delhi, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
When you work out or run lately, have your knees and shins been hurting? How old are your shoes? A year? 2 years? The aches and pains could be your body's way of saying your shoes are toast. Running shoes usually last for around 400 miles worth of wear. If you average a few miles a few days per week, you're going to wear out those shoes in 6 to 8 months. Hi, this is Adam at Central Coast Running. Bring your old shoes in the store so we can see how they're doing. We'll let you know how much life they have left and perform a full gait analysis if it's time for a new pair. We don't want to sell you a pair of shoes if you don't need them, but we do want to help let you know if your shoes are good for you. Stop in and let us help keep you feeling good.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
We're in the home stretch here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And if I don't have time to take your call today, you can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. I want to thank John from Pacific Grove, who forwarded me the letter he received from Congressman Sam Farr, trying to explain his vote in favor of the Bush-Pelosi bailout package. And it's a lengthy letter. It does go through a lot of the issues, and Farr correctly points out that what they have now is much better in terms of accountability and governance than what the Treasury Secretary had originally submitted. But that's an unfair comparison because the original submission was so ridiculous. So, yeah, the Democrats took some chicken poop and made it into chicken salad. But it still doesn't meet the basic benchmarks of fairness to both homeowners and the people who lent them money. And also, as I pointed out, it doesn't really do anything to cause banks to issue more loans. And that's what they're saying they want to happen. Farr's letter closes with this paragraph. Even with all the conditions added to the bill to improve the measure, it is true that we were attempting to solve a problem that has not entirely revealed itself. It's a difficult proposition to intervene in the marketplace and to put considerable taxpayer money at risk. However, after I studied the financial condition of our country carefully and spoke with local bankers, businesses, and real estate interests, I decided I simply had to vote for the economic rescue plan. It's important to realize that I didn't do this to save Wall Street, but instead to protect the economy and the bank accounts of millions of Americans. It was not an easy vote, but I hope you can appreciate why I made the decision that I did. Well, I like Sam Farr, but I'm sorry, Sam, I don't buy it. I realize the pressures that you were under, and I think I have a good sense of the politics here. But fundamentally, your constituents are opposed to this, and your job is to represent us. Catherine in Monterey, you're up next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, I was wondering how Sam Farr voted on that bill. I could not find the information on the Internet about how the vote went, you know, who voted.
Go to the New York Times published a lengthy table today with all the people who voted against it.
Okay.
And Sam Farr doesn't show up on that list, and so based on that and his letter, he did vote for it.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it just seems like, well, oh, one comment I had to make was that, you know, Santa Cruz has done a pretty good job, you know, your guys called in from Santa Cruz,
mm-hmm.
of doing, limiting the number of big box stores in their community. So mm-hmm. I think they deserve mention for that.
Okay. I agree with that.
Yeah. But, you know, it seems like we're going to need a much bigger fix than any economic rescue plan could give us. You know, our government has really gotten out of our control for mm-hmm. a long time. You know, the inability of the Democrats to pass any legislation along the Democratic platform is just phenomenal.
Well, it is, and it's interesting that Pelosi was dinged by the Republicans because she gave a speech endorsing this bill but condemning the Bush administration for creating the problems, and they said it was too partisan. Well, what I believe she was doing was trying to justify the bill to her Democratic colleagues and begging them to vote for it. So it's produced really strange bedfellows. It's a stinky situation, and I think what's clear to all, even you know, conservative capitalist Republicans, is that we need a top-to-bottom restructuring of our economic policies. And we need a new deal.
Yeah.
And we can't just put a Band-Aid on this and patch it up and still let CEOs make 300 times the, you know, the wage of their lowest-paid worker. And we can't allow corporate boards to reward failed CEOs with bonuses and bailouts or golden parachutes. And in fact, while the bill has some cosmetics that relate to that, it doesn't really do anything serious to limit executive pay, with the exception of those that take the federal bailout. So I think that, you know, there's a whole lot of work to be done,
And we need to stand firm behind the Democrats who oppose their own leadership and voted the will of their constituents on this bill. I heard one congressman say today that the calls to his office were 40% no, 50% hell no, and 10% had the wrong number.
Yeah.
Thanks, well, Catherine. You know, I got to run. I'm sorry. I got more callers here. And it's Annie in McKinleyville who was here before, and now she's back. Hi, Annie.
Is that me?
I guess it is.
Oh, this is Gina and Selena.
All right, Gina. Annie, your turn is going to come in a moment, and I screwed this one up. So go ahead, Gina.
Oh, okay. Did we have any runs or anything? Were we worried about the banks before they announced there was a crisis?
Well, the first indication was a week ago Friday there was an $85 billion run on the money markets. And so that was the first big, you know, objective red flag that presented itself. I don't know exactly why there was that run.
Is it not possible that the big money has so much investment in the stock market and in the bonds that they can make it sway? Can't they, like a yo-yo, can't they make it go up and down because they probably got the bulk of the investments?
There's a lot they can do. There's no doubt about it. The market is big, and they can't control it globally, but there is a lot of stuff they can do to impact it. Gina, I'm sorry, but I want to give Annie a chance to get on the air because she called twice. Go ahead, Annie.
Hey, Peter B. Well, you know, I was kind of loving what Reverend Billy had to say about we've got to maintain our sense of humor here, and I've been laughing all day. I don't know if you heard the little piece on ABC News about the booming business in Stockton, where they're fixing up distressed and foreclosed properties by spray painting the grass green. And I started laughing. I thought, well, there's the bailout right there, you know. And they said it dries in 2 hours and lasts about 3 or 4 months. I said, there you go.
That's beautiful. AstroTurf's too expensive.
Keep laughing, Peter B.
Thanks, Annie. I'll do my best. I appreciate your call today. And thanks to everybody who participated in the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm much obliged.
Happy trails to you.
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis, and as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the Internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The presidential candidates will be back in Washington tomorrow night. John McCain and Barack Obama want to be there when the Senate votes on the credit market rescue plan. Majority Leader Harry Reid says the Senate version will include a package of tax cuts and enhanced protection for bank depositors. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr has more on that.
Republicans, with support from both presidential candidates and now the FDIC, propose raising insurance protection limits for bank accounts from $100,000 to at least $250,000. Some conservatives also want to ease accounting rules to help companies with bad assets borrow money. Meanwhile, some Democrats would like to extend unemployment benefits, and they want more help for low-income homeowners facing foreclosure.
There is renewed confidence that a deal will get done, and that was reflected on Wall Street today.
The Dow, after plunging 777 points yesterday, came roaring back with a 485-point gain.
The big winners of the day were the recent big losers. Banking stocks, energy companies, and technology stocks got scooped up as traders went looking for bargains.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus. With the credit markets virtually paralyzed, business people and consumers are facing problems. CBS News economics correspondent Anthony Mason takes a look.
Bo Scott says his Nissan dealership in Roswell, Georgia, is being hit from both sides.
You've got consumers that are trying to arrange financing for new and pre-owned automobiles. But then the other side is we certainly take out loans for our inventories, and the banks are raising those rates as well.
That credit squeeze is what's weighing on Wall Street. Art Cashin says investors are counting on Congress.
If they do nothing, and if the credit market freezes up, we could see much more severe than what we saw yesterday.
The overnight lending rate that banks charge each other has almost tripled. The difficulty in getting a mortgage has made a bad housing market even worse. Maureen Maitland of Standard & Poor's says the latest S&P Case-Shiller Index shows home prices in 20 cities are down an average 20% from their peak 2 years ago.
Regionally, the Sun Belt is what's being hardest hit and what's continuing to drive these indexes down.
But she says those regions were due for a correction after home prices increased at rates of 30 to 50.